I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, at Kevruff on Twitter. Joining me, as always, is my good friend, Rob Landrum. What's going on, Rob?
What's going on, Kevin? What's going on, everybody at home listening in and getting all their pencils and their paper and listening to us like we're like an old-time war movie on the radio, like War of the Worlds, but War of the Fantasy Worlds. And we're going to tell you who to bring in, who to do, what to do. You know, it's not a panic mode, you know, because, you know, the news of an Aguero. But like we touched on last week, this week is with Coutinho. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It gives you the wealth of possibilities, which we're gonna delve into right off the bat, because I know Kevin's itching because he's been dying and listening to baseball's winter meetings. So he just wants to talk about players and player moving around and who to bring in and who to trade and transfer. So it's gonna be an exciting week. It's an exciting month, you know, with six fixtures basically crammed into this, you know, four week period that's coming up. So it a lot of strategies involved here. So you know, stick with us. We're gonna be here every week. We'll give you a podcast in between every game week, and we'll do our best to learn you something, probably.
As the intro card shows. Yes, it is the winter baseball meetings, which has caught basically half of my eye. But we do have plenty to talk about in fantasy. As Rob mentioned, the Aguero suspension did end up being 4 games. Obviously, he was very, very highly owned, but to your point, it does give a lot of people the opportunity to sell high if they got on it before the suspension was announced. Maybe you caught him on the way up. So that's a possibility. Also, to your point, it means you can diversify a whole lot more. Maybe that Chelsea defender that was too expensive, you can now look at bringing in. There are lots of midfielders that are worth bringing in. There are other forwards that a lot of people were finding difficult to, you know, make way for a Costa or a Kane or maybe an Ibrahimovic who has 4 goals in his last 5. So there are lots of ways you can go with this. And I do think that the Coutinho thing and the Aguero thing have broken up any semblance of template teams that, like, we started getting a little bit closer to again, and it's been shattered again. I'm starting to feel like we might not get that this year.
I'm gonna jump in here. I'm gonna kind of disagree with you there. I think that by having Aguero and Coutinho off the table, I think that the two better options in fantasy are taken off the slate, because Coutinho was the most owned player before he went down, and Aguero basically reassumed that position of being the most owned player. So you subtract those, and then you subtract the salaries that they have, and it only leaves you certain places to go and certain, you know, viable candidates from a fantasy perspective to go to. You know, look at the transfer rate of people coming in for, you know, that owned Aguero. You know, Kane and Costa are basically going to be universally owned now. So basically, that's going to be everybody's staple up front with their preference at third striker, Defoe, Benteke, Austin, and, you know, if they go crazy and want to sell the house, sell the kids, and get Ibrahimovic up top and have a three-headed, you know, 10.0 above monster, they could do that. But I think that with the Coutinho injury and the Aguero injury, I think that we're going to see a lot of teams being more the same. The front seven, front eight are going to be the same, because I think teams are going to load up because they have more money
because
now.
Everybody all of a sudden has the same money at the same time.
Absolutely.
So everybody's going to tend to go on the same people.
There's less places to go. Everybody's going to own Sanchez and Hazard now because they have the money, because they're not tied into $13 million up top. You know, they're going to have the Sigurdsons, they're going to have the Firminos, and then they're going to have their cheap fifth midfielder, whether it be, you know, Matty Phillips, Wilfred Zaha, you know, Joe Allen.
Or Matic or Allen.
Any guy that they like. And then they're going to have that between 7.5 and, you know, 6.6 striker option, whether it be Origi, Benteke, Austin, Kelechi Iheanacho. You know, there's even you want to throw Jermaine Defoe at 7'7" in there, he's definitely an option too. But yeah, like I completely just see this is a bad thing for trying to catch people. I always mention when Aguero is healthy and fit, you know, he's a damned if you do, damned if you don't player. I think not owning Kane and Costa right now is a damned if you do, damned if you don't proposition. I think you basically have to keep those two in your front three to basically match up with what everybody's doing. I mean, I was throwing out some wild outlandish ideas to you via text the other day, and I was running down what you could do through your midfield. So we'll touch on that in a little bit. But, you know, if you don't own Kane and Costa right now with your investment, you know, what they are currently, 11.1, 10.7 for Costa, I just look at what being transferred in, looking how the funds are being transferred around, and then look how much that's basically, this is a minus four week. I think a lot of people are taking a minus four this week because people who didn't own Sanchez or didn't own Hazard are, you know, dropping a midfielder, upping themselves to Sanchez or Hazard, and then taking the minus for the forward and getting Kane and Costa in the front three. It's a fun week to look at. You know, you're basically diversifying like Wu-Tang Financial.
You're trying to diversify your portfolio.
Your FPL portfolio here by bringing in Kane and Costa. But I mean, I dropped this to you, and I'll put this out to the people at home. If you had to own one of Kane or Costa from here to say New Year's, who's your guy?
Well, it crushed my entire soul. I already had to make this decision, and unfortunately I did it before I knew that Costa had picked up a knock, although it does look like he's fine now. He's already in training.
Yeah, he's going to be fine.
Yeah, the heart obviously said Kane, but the matchups and the fixtures and the stats all point to Diego Costa. You know he's only blanked twice this entire season? That's insane. And I mean, I just felt like I couldn't pass that up, so I did go with Costa. The run of fixtures is better.
It's crazy better. I mean, yeah. I'll run them down to everybody at home. Chelsea's next, basically to New Year's. This is their upcoming fixtures. They're home against West Brom. They're at Sunderland. They're at Crystal Palace. They're home to Bournemouth. They're home to Stoke. And then they take on Tottenham at Spurs.
Also, as a Chelsea fan, doesn't it feel like we always play right around New Year's?
Yeah.
It feels every year.
Yeah. You know what? It's probably set that way. It's probably like the Cowboys playing on Thanksgiving. You know, it's probably like they set it up for a holiday period. You know, both two London-based teams. You know, people are around for the holidays. It's the second day after New Year's, and it's you know the weekend after. So you know, people are going to be. Actually, no, it's on a Tuesday.
It's on a Tuesday. It's going up on a Tuesday.
Yeah. So, but whatever. You know, like, but it's good. It's good for soccer. Yeah. I mean, but the run-in of games for Chelsea definitely favors Costa there. So I am going to agree with you. But my crazy scenario is here. Everybody's going to be owning Kane and Costa. Their ownerships are spiking right now. Kane is at 15.8 right now. He's still the only he's going to be a differential probably for this 1 week, because I think if people aren't taking a minus four, they're going to do it. They'll bring him in next week. But here's a crazy proposition there. If you chose one of those, and I'm going to choose Kane here because he's owned in less percentage, and differentials rule the world in this, you know, cash rules everything around me, differential y'all. But I'm going to choose Kane here. Is it crazy that I could actually see myself loading up on high-priced midfielders, Sanchez, Firmino, Hazard, Sigurdsson, and, you know, add in Mane if you want to add a fifth high-priced midfielder in there, or Eriksen, or somebody else you feel comfortable with. Basically, give me the highest five-priced producing midfielders currently, and then you go Kane with two strike forward options that are peaking right now and basically are in good positions to, you know, to actually make a fantasy name for themselves. So if you pair up Kane with Divock Origi and Kelechi Iheanacho up top, I mean, I know it sounds like a big shot in the dark, but is it really a big shot in the dark to do that when you're only going to be facing two? And then if the matchup is favorable, you play them over the fifth midfielder who you've invested some money in. You have all this money right now. People are stockpiling money. You can't spend it basically to fill your team right now because, you know, the $13 million and the excess from Coutinho that still people still had, you know, they didn't diversify their money enough, and they probably have money in their kitties. So, I mean, Kev, is that a wild idea for people to be looking at Divock Origi and Kelechi Iheanacho as a pair, as a tandem to bring in?
My only issue with it is the temporary nature of it. That's a lot of moves, as we mentioned in text. It's basically a minus 12 unless you have your wild card for what is a 4 or 5 week fix. Because Coutinho should be back middle of January, late January. Aguero's only up 4 matches.
But can I jump into that? If, you know, with the 3 quick games, if you take a minus 4 of the first game and then do 1 and 1, you're basically there already.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you don't have to do it all 1 week because these matches are going to come thick and fast. It's possible, but, you know, to get anything out of it.
I love Kelechi Iheanacho. I love him.
I know you do. I just think it's much easier to keep whoever your low price person is right now. You already ran through the list, like your Austins or your Benteke's or your Defoe's or those guys, and add one of them, pick between Origi and Iheanacho, and then upgrade one of your guys instead of upgrading your whole five midfielders. So then it's two moves instead of 3 or 4. So that's probably the take that I would, or that's probably the way that I would do it. But I mean, is it the craziest thing? I guess not. It's just a little rich for my blood, but I can see where you're coming from. And then, you know, everybody has gotten so used to a 3-4-3 in FPL. It feels like every week that's what everyone's doing. It would be interesting to see somebody maybe run a 3-5-2 or something a little closer to those lines. But,
I mean, it's not a crazy idea. Look what Kelechi has done in the two games. You know, the two games that Aguero missed, weeks 4 and 5, he had a goal and an assist in both games. As did Kevin De Bruyne. Had a goal and an assist in both games. They beat United and they beat Bournemouth in those two fixtures. So, I mean, we've seen what Kelechi can do. He's got three goals in basically, you know, 3-4.5 games of total minutes played. So, I mean, he's not like you're throwing in some basically scrub in there, because he does play.
And
the
scrub
well.
Is a guy that can't get no love from me.
Yeah, exactly. Because he'd be riding on the passenger side.
Of his best friend's ride?
Waiting to get a holler at me.
I'm very pleased that that just happened. I will talk more about Iheanacho later. I would not, as I said, I would not do it, but I can see how it's feasible, and it does make your formations a little more interesting. And if it does go the way you think, and we're on our way back to a more of a template thing, a rotated third forward, fifth midfielder would definitely kind of give you a natural differential there.
Yeah, I mean, but like I said, the midfielder, you know, the ranks for the midfielders, it's Sanchez, Hazard. You know, if you're buying back into the Eriksen bandwagon, because Spurs does have a good run of fixtures coming up. They are starting to get a little bit healthy. I believe Toby's playing Thursday. I've heard some good news. So that shores up their defense there, which was the only question mark that I think that Spurs really had. We know Spurs can get forward, especially when Kane's healthy. So, I mean, with fixtures against, you know, United, Hull, Burnley, Southampton, Watford, and that takes you basically to New Year's, and then with the Chelsea fixture the 2 days after, you know, that's a decent run of games that you could probably, you know, say that, okay, you know, I can go jump back onto the, you know, and we're kind of diverting a little bit into Eriksen here, but, you know, he's probably put himself back into the conversation of guys that you may want to look at because of what Harry Kane does for Spurs.
Yeah, Eriksen immediately became relevant once Kane came back, but, you know, you and I were both like, we kind of want to see it first. And the Manchester United matchup this weekend isn't the kindest, especially since it's at Old Trafford. But, I think after this week, you know, the long-term picture, I'm a little bit darker on. Just United, Southampton, and Chelsea all on the horizon. Watford's in there, and that's away to Watford, where, you know, Watford can be pretty stout defensively at times. So, just not that Kane won't score or Eriksen won't score, it's just, you know, you don't mark it as like a big match for Tottenham.
Yeah.
But on the conversely, you look at Hull and Burnley as huge wins. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why the Kane-Costa thing is a little close, is Costa has a whole lot of like B-plus matchups over 5 weeks. And like I said, he's only blanked twice, so you favor him in each and every single one of those. But he does not have any matches easier than Tottenham will have against Hull at White Hart Lane.
Yeah.
Like that's going to be abusive. It could be worse than what we just saw against Swansea.
Yeah. Diego Costa for me is if you don't own Diego Costa, you're not playing FPL to play serious. I mean, any guy who has two games where he hasn't scored or assisted in is just crazy. He's also the most owned player currently. He's 47.7% of leagues as of today. His price is going to go up one more time before game kickoff. So he's going to be over 50% before kickoffs on Saturday.
Yeah, not surprising. But to finish the Eriksen thing, he's creating again. He had the highest chances created in the Premier League last week. It was against Swansea. You don't want to read too much into it. But I do think that Tottenham can ride high off of that performance. I'm not saying like you can look at Swansea and be like, look at how good they are. But obviously it was a team that was a little bit struggling for confidence in a match like that. Obviously gets it back up, and Eriksen is scoring the goals as well. Although the goal that he scored against Swansea was with his chest or sternum or shoulder. It was pretty unclear, but he did put it in the net technically.
His body.
Go with the hockey thing. It was an upper body goal.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, yeah, it still counts. I don't care.
It does. Also, one of the assists was iffy. It was a shot that got deflected that landed to Son. Whatever. It's fine. He's looked much, much better.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's not getting as much attention, and he's feeling more flowing into the role with Kane being above him. Because Kane basically, you know, takes a lot of, attention away from other people. I mean, except when he gets completely taken out of the game by Cesar Azpilicueta.
Is going to get taken out by your right back?
That's what's going to happen.
Interesting. Not sure why he'd be on him, but if he does, you can say you called it. I will say the one negative about Tottenham is no Eric Lamela for quite some time. He's apparently had an injury setback, and he's currently back in Argentina dealing with a family issue that the club have not disclosed. So that is a small blow because it looked like he was on his way back. Now there's an injury. Now there's an issue that even has him out of the country instead of in physical rehab. So... just kind of keep an eye on that. Also, breaking news to the podcast, the Cubs are about to sign Wade Davis.
Trade for Wade Davis?
Nice. Uh-huh, that one. So yeah, looks like they're out of the Chapman thing. Now he can go to your Yankees without having to feel bad.
Yay. I would feel bad anyway because I want him. I'll take the best prospect for him and then re-sign him for money. That's cool.
Again. Fair enough. Well, let's get into price changes now that we've discussed all the permutations of the Aguero absence. Who do we got to focus on this week?
Price ups. Lee Grant went up he's the only goalie to go up. Pickford.
Butland got set back.
He's going for an MRI in his ankle. His return is questionable. So Lee Grant looks comfortable in there for at least probably through these three fixtures, I would say, unless Butland makes a complete 180 and comes right back. But it didn't sound too good from the manager, from what he was saying. On defense, Nathan Ake has been playing very well for Bournemouth. Bournemouth's defense has been playing well, minus Charlie Daniels, who hasn't been playing. So Nathan Ake has gone on the up. A couple Southampton lads, Cedric and Virgil van Dijk, have gone up, even though they just got shellacked 3-0. Have confidence. They're still Southampton defenders. Look at what they do at home, not what they do on the road.
Also, I think we have to talk about Crystal Palace being an actually legitimate attack, despite all their other issues. They're now sixth in attack in the Premier League right now.
They're all attack, and it's completely disambiguous. How's that? Disambiguous of what we, you know, Crystal Palace. They haven't had a clean sheet, or they had one last week, but now they're, you know, they had one since April. So you know. Let's do it again and see if we can start a winning streak.
Yeah, but last five games, Palace scored in reverse order 3-5-1-2-2. Like they're scoring and they're scoring a bunch.
They're definitely an offensive option. Yeah.
The point of that being, don't judge Southampton too harshly. Southampton still have the fifth best defense in the league, but Crystal Palace, when they turn it on, they can overturn anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And Southampton's way better at home than they are at, you know, on the road. So, and they did give up three at Crystal Palace. So Southampton is home again, home this weekend to Middlesbrough. I think Southampton only has two goals allowed at home this year. So that's an interesting fact. So, and that's people buying into the, you know, the Cedric and VVD love. Up through the midfield on the
ups. I have a fun stat for you with Cedric.
I know
he's your boy, Cedric the Entertainer. Is now in the top five of successful crosses in the Premier League. after just two matches back.
Yeah, he gets forward a ton. I know that the official game doesn't recognize crosses or any other ancillary stats, but Cedric is the goods on defense. That's all I gotta say.
Yep.
So on the midfield ups, Alexis has gone up twice. No surprise. He just came off 3 goals and an assist. He's gone up 200. People have brought him in 215,000 times already this week. He's gone up twice already. He'll probably go up another time before game week. So anybody looking to maximize their overall team value, it's a great time to do it. You know, there's a lot of guys that you could speculate on and bring in and bring up your team value, which is very beneficial for when you're playing the double game weeks and you need that extra money to boost up your bench. Also on the up to the midfield, Hazard, no surprise, Eriksen, Hillman's son, and Matty Phillips, the friend of the show. Unfortunately, he goes up against Chelsea this week, so it's not an awesome looking week for Matty P.
True, but he is a Baps legend already.
Yeah, they Baps love him because he touches the ball a lot and he does a lot on the final end.
It was a great goal, by the way.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's got some skill. On the forward ups, Kane has gone up twice. If you want to know where the Aguero money's going, it's going into Kane. Look at his ownership; it's basically tripled in the last 3 weeks. He started 3 weeks ago when we brought him up as a buy for the fixture that he basically scored the first PK of his 3 PK streak. Right, 3 in a row. He's got 3 PKs in a row. Mm. Right, something. Like that. Yeah. So he started at like just under 5%. He's at 15.8 now. 225,000 transfers in. He'll probably go up again before game week because people are waiting till Thursday. They play Thursday? Spurs plays Thursday?
Wednesday. Okay. We're not in the Europa League yet.
Yeah, sorry. They play tomorrow. Yeah, they play tomorrow in the Champions League. So people are probably waiting till, you know, the Friday last minute. Diego Costa, 165,000 in. He has gone up. And then they round out the rest of the forwards have gone up. Christian Benteke's gone up. Crystal Palace is a very, very promising offensive unit right now. I think Benteke is the knocked-on third forward who I think you should probably own with Kane and Costa. Origi has gone up. Ibrahimovic has gone up. And Jermaine Defoe has gone up. Ibrahimovic is interesting. He basically fluctuates between 30% owned and 20% owned. He's currently at 26.8 at 11.2. You know, goals in two games, you know, helps you do that. So, you know, I don't know what he's going to do this week. It's tougher fixture for them, but we'll see. Like I mentioned before, Diego Costa is now the most officially owned player at 47.7%. The number will probably be close to 50 by time of game, which that means that almost 2 million players in the FPL universe will own Diego Costa. On the downs. We'll go to the downs. In goal, Claudio Bravo has gone down for City. City is just not a clean sheet, you know, driven team at all. On defense, Charlie Daniels has gone down. He's been injured, so it's not really fair to him, but it's fine because it benefits everybody who's been waiting to bring him back in. Charlie Daniels is a fine, fine fantasy player when healthy. I don't know if he features this weekend, but he'll probably feature in one of the upcoming 3 quick games. Scotty Dan has gone down. Listen, Crystal Palace just got their first clean sheet since I was a year younger. Let's relax. I love Scotty D, but you know he is what he is. He's a goal-driven defender on a poorly balanced defensive team. Mm. Relax.
One more thing on Crystal Palace. It's starting to sound like Papa Suarez may never actually return to full football playing form, which is very sad for him.
Yeah.
Sorry for him, but from taking the emotion out of it as a fantasy thing. You might not really want to buy in on Crystal Palace until January when surely they'll be forced into that market.
Yeah, absolutely. They definitely need a wide back there. There's no doubt about it. Also on the downs, George Friend, he's injured. But I love the Burrow attack. The defense regardless. Look what they're doing. Berrigan is a fine defender. Ben Gibson is a fine defender. Burrow has an okay string of games. And defensively, you know, they're not awful to be part of your fourth, fifth defender as part of a rotation with like a West Brom or, you know, even a Bournemouth defender if you so choose. On the downs for the midfield, Dimitri Payet has gone down. I think people just – you're not getting enough out of a 9.0 midfielder from Payet. And there's reason I think that everybody shifted off of him a while ago. You know, they've shifted basically from a Payet to Hazard – 3-5 weeks ago, And, you know, the West Ham love in fantasy is dead, I think. I don't think there's basically anybody that should be really owned there or trusted. And then my next guy is basically on the same team, Mikel Antonio. When's the last time he headed a goal in? Jesus, Mike, Mikel, do something good for once.
I bet he's still leading the 2016 standings in headed goals. So.
Yeah, probably. No surprise, Philippe Coutinho went down again this week. He's now at 8.4. He was 8.8 the time of his injury, so that's 0.4 in 2 weeks, which is pretty good for when you want to buy back in. He'll probably, like I said, he'll probably be right about 8 by the time he comes back from injury, which is pretty good. That's a good investment value for a Liverpool midfielder. And then on the forwards, Lukaku's gone down, and by no surprise, Sergio Aguero has gone down. He's been transferred out 542,000 times, which is 16% of the entire fantasy universe. So expect that number to probably double by game time. So basically, you know, 25% of Sergio Aguero owners have punted by Saturday's kickoff to direction of either Kane, Costa, or some, you know, configuration of multiples. So that's the price ups and price downs. It gives you a market fare of what's going on in transfers and who's bringing in who and who's bringing in what. You know, there's some interesting names in there. Alexis going up twice. You know, Kane going up twice. It just shows where people are reinvesting the Aguero money. I think that's where the Aguero money is going.
Yeah, very interesting stuff there indeed. Hey, you know what? I think we should let that awesome work by you breathe a little bit and then go and pay some bills.
Let me save my breath.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, now that Rob has re-withdrawn his breath from a safety deposit box somewhere, we can continue into everyone's sometimes favorite segment. What? I don't know what
we're
talking about.
Oh, wait. Can we do something beforehand?
Sure.
Because I have another question for you, and I didn't touch on it beforehand. With the upcoming fixtures, Kev, I wanted to touch on this a little bit with everybody because it's kind of like a little educational thing for everybody. With the three quick fixtures, it's kind of important to pay attention to yellow cards.
Yeah.
The guys with yellow cards has been prominent because everybody's known that Diego Costa has basically been one card away.
It's like week four.
like 6 weeks. It's just interesting. I kind of did a little homework for everybody. And
I noticed was a surprise on that list.
Yeah, there's some other bigger names that are on there. Diego Costa, Alexander Kolarov, Jason Puncheon, Robert Huth. Jan Vertonghen is one way, which is a very debilitating thing if he's out for Spurs.
Yeah.
Antonio Valencia, Mikel Antonio, and Danny Simpson are the main guys right
Fuchs
there. There's some other guys. Yeah, Fuchs is. I think he's one. Fuchs has only got three, I believe, because he's got three in a row. But Danny Simpson is in there. Lyndon Gooch
According
is on
to
that
Fox,
list.
Fuchs is on four.
All right, there you go. Maybe I mix Fuchs. But it's something to keep a head about, you know, especially with these three quick fixtures. You know, you got game Saturday, Sunday, game Tuesday, Wednesday, and game Saturday, Sunday. So, you know, it's hard to plan for it because, you know, a guy can get one on Saturday, one on Tuesday, and one on Saturday again, and then you're screwed.
Yep.
But, you know, I'm just saying if you're thinking about transferring any of the guys who are, you know, close to being, a red carded away.
Yeah.
They're being suspended for yellow, you know, accumulation. Just take it to heed and maybe take the secondary guy. You may be better off. Just it'll save you a double transfer. If you transfer him in, you got to transfer him back out. So
yeah. Deeney and Lawton are the other two that I thought were kind of interesting there.
There you go. Just a little piece for everybody at home. You know, just people helping people.
Mm-hmm. France help in France. All right, now we will head into starts and sits. I, of course, will take the lead here. I told you I was going to talk about Kelechi Iheanacho later, and here we are. He's on 6.6 price right now, although he may already be up by the time you're hearing this. 3.7% owned, also likely to go up. Did score in the Champions League today. He did play the entire match, which has some people concerned, but Sané and Nolito both also played the full match, and Navas played a half hour or so. So somebody is going to have to be on double duty, and he is young. His legs can probably take it. And with no Aguero, obviously he's probably in line to do that, although, as you mentioned, I don't know if that was off-air or on-air, De Bruyne has played as a false nine for them before, but I think Iheanacho should be ready to start up front, and when he has been playing, his performances have been terrific. He has more goals than starts in his Manchester City career in all competitions, 19 goals and 18 appearances, and is actually averaging more goals per minute, a goal every 66, than the guy he's replacing, Aguero, who scores one every 101 minutes. So very impressive stuff from him. Leicester have been crazy and consistent defensively. So I definitely recommend putting Nachos on your fantasy plate this weekend.
I had to go in and unmute you to laugh.
Oh, that's dedication right there. That means it's real funny. Had to go out of your way. other people worth mentioning. Defoe, who you've already name-dropped a couple times there. And he's up against your new and reigning worst defense in the Premier League, Swansea City. Mm-hmm. They've taken the crown from Hull. They also have the worst home defense in the Premier League. So it's overall and at home. This match, obviously, going to be there for Swansea. So buckle up, because Defoe may score in buckets. Harry Kane, another guy that we've mentioned that is fairly obvious. In the midfield, it's a bit of a hunch, really, more than anything else, and it's probably just really helpful for 1 week, because the schedule gets a little iffy going forward, as he will be facing Arsenal and Liverpool, but they aren't super resolute at the moment. But the guy I'm talking about is Kevin Morales, Everton midfielder, 6.4 price-wise, 1.7% owned. I just think he's going to be the main beneficiary of the Bolasie injury. I think he's going to get more minutes because of that. He's been in and out of the squad of late, but I think he'll really get some of those minutes. And when he's in there, you know, the points aren't super great, but he's actually still fifth in total corners taken, despite only playing, or only starting, rather, 10 of 14 matches this season. I know it's not a crazy slam dunk stat, and this really isn't about stats. I just have a feeling like Everton have been underperforming. Morales has been out of the squad and kind of underperforming. I just think there might be something here. As I said, Arsenal and Liverpool after this match, so it could not be super great, but just a hunch I have, figured I should get it out there somewhere. And a 6.4 is relatively cheap. For defenses I like this week, Southampton have the fifth best defense I've already mentioned. They're facing Middlesbrough, who have the 18th ranked attack. And I also like Bournemouth this week, because I'm wrong on them every week, so I may as well be high on them sometimes so that they can disappoint me. But they are up against Burnley, who have the second worst attack in the Premier League. So a couple of options to look at there. I think you mentioned Charlie Daniels is on the way down. Maybe now's the time to bring them in if you are going to take a minus four. Personally, I have not, but we'll talk about that more when we get to our teams. And now is not our team time. Now it's time to hear Rob talk about his starts and sits.
Yeah, my starts and sits. I'll start up top. Divock Origi. Listen, this is a case of I'm in love with the tool shed that's around the tool, which doesn't sound cool, but it really means good things. 6.6, owned in 2.8%. He's basically the same price as everybody else that you want to be in that range of forward options for the third striker. Charlie Austin, Kelechi Iheanacho. You spend a little bit more for Benteke. You know, Defoe is 7.7. So you have the money. So it's not really, an issue. You know, look at who Liverpool plays in the next upcoming fixtures. You know, basically they're going to be favored in most. They play West Ham at home. West Ham defense is awesome. Awful. Middlesbrough away. Everton away. Stoke at home. And then they play City, Sunderland, and Man United. And that basically takes into January. But that's basically when Coutinho should be back, probably the middle of January. I would probably try to monopolize this only because I think the players around Origi make him better. You know, we saw what Mane could do. We know what Firmino can do. He didn't show too much in this past weekend, and basically people gave him the fantasy finger. But he's still there. He's still going to do good things. You know, if I had to pick a Liverpool midfielder to own right now, it'd probably be Sadio Mane. But that's just me, only because I just think his game is different than Firmino's, and I think he can create better. on the wide side than Firmino could do in the middle. But that's just me. Whatever. So Origi is my call for the forward shout. 6.6, owned in 2.8% of leagues. Look at what's around him. They're only going to make him better, play better, and draw attention away from him. Through the midfield, I have two guys listed only because I kind of like both and I couldn't figure both out. I've seen a lot of chatter that people aren't really trusting, Kevin De Bruyne this week without Aguero. They don't really trust City as a team right now. They don't think they're playing very well as a team. I know Kevin De Bruyne's price at 10.8 is expensive. He's still owned in 10.4%. But I'm just going to go back to the two games that Aguero wasn't in featuring for City when he was out. Two goals, two assists in the two games that he was there. It's basically the same thing as Kelechi Iheanacho. Guys, that when Aguero isn't there, the other guys step up. Kevin De Bruyne has the ability to play a false nine. He probably won't. Iheanacho will probably play the nine. But without Aguero there to suck up some touches, De Bruyne is going to have to be the more of a playmaker there and take the ability onto himself. And he has the ability to make the plays by himself if he needs to. So it's not an awful play this week through the midfield. The other shout I have is a Liverpool defender, but he's a little bit less owned, and he's been basically doing the same thing that you want everybody else to do. It's Omri Chan, 2.4%, 4.9. He's basically that fifth midfielder that I talked about before. The only problem is that he's not as sexy and as more of an offensive name as Mane and Firmino and, you know, anybody else for Liverpool that you want to throw in the midfield that you think. He's basically a glorified defensive midfielder that gets forward and does stuff. But the good thing is he's got three goals in his last five games, and his price is really, really conducive to just load up, like I said before, on the Sanchez's, the Hazards, the Sigurdsson's, the Walcott's, the anybody you want, the top five price guys through the midfield, and then add a 5.0 plus or minus five as your fifth midfielder and rotate it in with your third striker. Omri Chan is the perfect guy. I just went over Liverpool's fixtures. Liverpool's going to be favored in most. They score a ton of goals. They give up some, but he's a midfielder. You don't care how many they give up. You just hope he's on the back end in the tally sheet for him. On defense, Kevin mentioned Bournemouth. I like Bournemouth. Nathan Ake is a good call. I'd like to see when Charlie Daniels comes back how the team fits in and how he fits in. But if you can get Charlie Daniels now at a discount, I believe he's 4.9 right now. That'd be a good price to buy for Charlie Daniels. He's a 5.0 and above defender all day because he does take a lot of free kicks and, you know, spot stuff. So keep an eye on that. I also like Spurs defense, especially if I know Toby's expected to play tomorrow. I'd like to see if he features on the weekend. I don't know if he will, but if you want to invest, if you don't own a Spurs defender, I'm not buying United here. I think Spurs keeps it nice and tidy on the road at United. Mm. But that's just me. I'm not even a Spurs fan. Kevin's probably smiling like he's got peanut butter on top of lip right now.
I'm actually not super on us this week, so interesting to
say that. But. So on to my sits. My sits, I'll start in defense. What we just saw from Crystal Palace, I don't believe it. It's their first clean since, you know, April. Do it again. That's all I'm saying. Do it again. I don't believe it. I want to see it and see you do it again.
Rob is yelling at the Palace defense, do it, you won't.
And yeah, it's time you won't. To see whether or not they do. They're playing Hull at Hull. And I don't think they'll. I still don't think they'll do it.
Snodgrass free kick, for sure.
Ryan Mason headed goal off of James Tompkins. That's yeah. So Palace defense. Don't believe the hype. Through the midfield, Matty Phillips, everybody's favorite. Well, probably everybody's favorite because we told you about him 4.5 months ago. But yeah. He's going against Chelsea. It's not a good matchup for the Baggies. I know the Baggies are a surprise team. They're in seventh, I believe, in the standings currently. But Matty Phillips is going to get swallowed up by the Chelsea midfield and defense. You know, I expect Nemanja Matic back. Conte's going to be there. I don't like Matty Phillips this week. Mm-hmm. So if you own him as your midfielder, he's definitely your fifth midfielder this week, and he's probably your first sub.
Yeah, I've actually swapped him and Leroy Fair this week. Not transfer wise. Just I'm gonna have Phillips on my bench.
Yeah, I did mine with him and Zaha. So those are my fifth midfielders rotation. And then in my forward sit, Charlie Austin. I like Middlesbrough's defense. I think that they are starting to gel. I believe George Friend should be on his way back soon. I don't know if he makes it back by game time, but I like what they're doing defensively. We saw it on the game this past Monday. They play well as a team. There's not a star there among, you know, there's not like a big name guy there. There isn't, you know, You know, there isn't a Toby Aldabarro there, or there isn't a Hector Bellerin there, but they play well as a team. The Ben Gibsons, the Antonio Barragans, they play well together. And I don't think that Southampton can crack it. I think Middlesbrough probably, you know, wins this game or lets up just – I hope they don't let up any, but if they let up one, I hope it's not the Charlie Austin because he's my sit.
Yeah, I agree with you on a lot of that. To your point about Boro, your eyes have not deceived you. They are currently the sixth best defense in the Premier League. So boom. Very good call by you.
I should get my own podcast.
Dude, can I come on it?
Yeah, you know what? You could do it with me, and we'll call it the FPL Roundtable.
That's a good idea. We should do something like that. Maybe we could even do like a DFS thing for like a VIP bet or something. Anyway, I completely agree with you on your Austin call. 6.9. Price 17.4% own. You and I loved Austin there for a while, but they should have had a field day against Crystal Palace and were held blank for a league worst 3 times in their last 5. They're 4th worst in that stat on the season, 17th in attack efficiency. He's still on penalties. He's still going to score some goals, but with cheaper temporary options, like we've already mentioned, like Origi or Ihe Iheanacho, or maybe bumping up to Defoe or something, I just don't see why you want to keep Charlie Austin. And I do agree with you on Middlesbrough being better than a lot of people are aware, but also Stoke are better than a lot of people are aware. Boro and Stoke are both top 5 defenses over their last 5 matches. So agree with you there. I don't have any issue against Austin. Southampton just aren't doing enough in attack. So it's, for me, I think it is time to move on from him. In the midfield, this is kind of a question mark, right? So Roberto Firmino, he's pretty expensive. He's still on 8-8. He's blanked in the last 3 matches. He does have a fairly easy run of fixtures on the horizon. How much longer do you think people should wait on him, especially considering he may be people's only Liverpool cover?
0. I would have got him out already and gone to Mane.
Interesting.
I preferred Mane. I mentioned that
you
like
did,
a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
I said I prefer Mane. I think that with Coutinho out, I think Mane is the better play.
Yeah. Sorry, and he certainly has looked it, so... credit to you there again. I have other needs more quickly, but yeah. I don't think either of us would begrudge you at all if you dropped Roberto Firmino, even though the coming matches do seem kind on paper anyway, with West Ham, Boro, who we have just praised. To be fair, Boro and Stoke are both in there. City are still top 5.
Yeah, this is the question you would have on yourself. If you owned Firmino and Mane, and you only had to start one right now, who would you start?
Mane, not close.
Yeah, so there's your if you own both and you had to start one and the other one you could just drop, that gives you your answer right there. That would give me the decisiveness. It's like narrowing down keepers in, you know, in baseball, yeah, or, you know, doing something. Ooh, like that.
You know what's really awful?
What?
Liverpool's rotating schedule from New Year's Eve until April. It's City, Sunderland, United, Swansea, Chelsea, Hull, Spurs, Leicester, Arsenal, Burnley, City, Everton.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot of on and off. From April onwards till the end of the season, it looks real nice. Obviously, there could be some matches moved around because of FA Cup stuff. But
you basically want to own a Liverpool defender because you kind of want them just because they have a lot of fixtures. Basically, you want to own them until basically Valentine's Day. It's basically when you want to own them because they play Tottenham the weekend before Valentine's Day. So, I mean, in that they have West Ham, Middlesbrough, Stoke, Sunderland, Swansea, Hull are the unfavorable fixtures with City, Chelsea, and United mixed in there. But you kind of want
to
have
to find a good rotation.
Yeah,
is what you
absolutely
need to do. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know Tottenham and Liverpool rotate okay, but then you're going against yourself in one of the fixtures, so that's bad. But I don't trust West Ham enough, and they have some good fixtures that line up, but I don't trust West Ham at all.
Yeah. But anyway, just looking crazy forward down the stretch for Liverpool from the 5th of April onwards. Bournemouth, Stoke, West Brom, Palace, Watford, Southampton, West Ham, Middlesbrough. So you absolutely will take that. But it will be interesting to see, you know, if Liverpool keep this up, if they make any moves in January, what all happens there. So just kind of keep an eye on that. But for me, you know, I went into this with the statement that Liverpool's fixtures are pretty easy, and now that I kind of give it a second glance, they're kind of not. Everton's still a top 10 defense. That means 4 out of the next 5 are against top 10 defenses. Anyway, the numbers and colors that are on the fixtures page of the FPL thing are pretty freaking stupid. Like we were just talking about Austin. They're both listed as twos for Southampton, even though both are top five defenses in their last five. Same thing here with these guys, with Middlesbrough, Everton, and Stoke are all twos or threes. So sometimes do your own research or just listen to our show and we'll do it for you. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always a good idea. Listen to us. We tend to have some good ideas. We don't follow our own advice very often, but it's pretty good. Or I don't follow my own advice very often.
Yeah, I've gotten better about it lately. But to wrap up starts and sits, for defenses, Everton, only two clean sheets this entire season. Arsenal and the Merseyside derby coming up. Sure, this week isn't necessarily the roughest matchup with Watford, but it's at Watford. I just don't believe in them at all, even a little bit. And if Coleman misses, I don't believe in them even more. Manchester City, Bravo is leaky as all hell, and Fernandinho is not going to be there in front of them to mop things up. Fernando will be there instead, but
less who convinced. Else is going to be there? Colo Torre
will not be there.
Colo will be in Scotland.
Yeah, he'll be at Celtic, I think is what it is. But anyway, unlike you, I do not like the Tottenham or the United defense. Just Ibra and Kane are both hitting form now. I just think both of them end up getting on the score sheet. Also, I'm going to predict this is a boring as hell match. But I do think there might be a goal or two on either side. And that'll wrap up starts and sits for us. Time to talk about our teams. Rob, I'll let you take the lead on this. How's your team do at the weekend, and are you making any changes?
My team did okay. I messed up and forgot the captain, Alexis, but I did okay. I ended on, 70-something? 70-something sounds about right. And I've made my moves for the week. I was an Aguero owner, and I took a minus, and I took my own advice. I went to Kane and Costa, so I have Kane and Costa up top with Benteke as my third striker. I have Sanchez, Phillips, Sigurdsson, Hazard, and Zaha through my midfield. Macaulay, Peters, Ashley Williams, Daniels, and the defensive punt Amat on defense. I still don't have a Chelsea defender because I kept finding a need to up myself everywhere else. After this week's fixtures, I will have a Chelsea midfielder in there because I have money in the bank. And in goal, I have Foster and Pickford as my goalies still. They rotate okay, so I'm happy
except
with that.
Except for when Foster always lets in a goal.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's the baggy way. But yeah, so I'm all happy with my team. I'm on the rise for the last 3 weeks. So that's decent. So I'm happy. I'm not going to make another move. Like I already said, I already took a minus to get Aguero so I can get Kane and Costa in. So yeah, I'm sitting good right now, and then I'll eagerly wait to Saturday Sunday fixtures, and if I have to make an early transfer, I'm fine with taking minus fours because they're not really hurting me right now because, you know, who I'm bringing in is getting more than 4 points. So
right, all good points from you. I also had a good week. We aren't just bringing this up because we had a good week, although it does seem like that. I ended up having 88 points after a minus four. So very, very pleased. I basically halved my overall rank, which was woeful before, and now it's just a little depressing. But all in all, it worked out for me very, very well indeed. I did also make the Aguero to Costa switch, but I'm not going to take a minus four this week, I don't think, unless Coleman is confirmed to be officially out. I know I just said to be out on Everton, but I've taken minus fours for 3 weeks. But like you, I have had three straight weeks of green arrows, even with the minus fours. So I could change my mind on that coming up. But Matty Loughton and Adam Smith facing each other, not too really worried about either of those attacks. I think I could get by with that for one more week, but obviously do want to improve that. Do have 2.6 in the bank after making that move. Like you, probably bringing in a Chelsea defender, a wise move at this point. Also, I you know, we were talking about the Tottenham renaissance, fantasy-wise. With Toby back, I think Spurs defenders might be back on the menu, but I'm probably going to want to wait and see until we have a better feeling of how that's going to look. In midfield, Firmino, Sanchez, Fair, and Hazard. As I mentioned, Phillips on my bench is my first sub this week, just because of the matchups. I think Fair versus Sunderland has a much better chance than Phillips will against Chelsea, and Marcus Alonso, who will be the guy that he's one-on-one with. Did bring in Costa, so he's up front. Also have Austin, who I could ship. It's still depending on the Coleman injury. And Christian Benteke, who I think will have a hell of a day up against Hull I think he could really go off again. Lloris on the bench against United. Matty Phillips on the bench. Same with Holobas against Everton and Kingsley, who is probably the worst price dump, just because even if he is brought in, he's going to have like negative 4 points. Because Swansea just cannot keep the ball out of the net. But yeah, so those are the moves I made. That's how my team has been doing. It's been looking pretty good.
So who do you think, what do you think captain's choice-wise this week? Who are your top three candidates? Not even on your team, just in general.
Oh, well, I'm going to narrow it down to my team because I can actively see it right now. Benteke against Hull, I really wouldn't mind. I don't think it's that crazy. Costa against West Brom, maybe not, just because the center backs tend to be pretty resolute there, but maybe Hazard. You know, a little pace there to deal with Craig Dawson. I don't really think Dawson will be able to keep up when it comes there. The armband's still on Sanchez. Hard to take it off him after the week he just had. But as I mentioned, Stoke have the second best defense over the last five matches. So not really a huge fan there. maybe Pickford against Swansea? No, absolutely not. Right now, I think I'd go out on a limb. I think I might go Benteke against Hull, to be honest.
Yeah, I that's not a bad shout because I own Benteke as well. So, but it's probably it's looking like an Alexis Sanchez game for me. I know he played 70 minutes in the game today. So
it was just so unnecessary. But
he ran, but he didn't look like he was exhausted. So
true. Yeah, and he wasn't injured, which was like the big worry as soon as everyone saw he was starting what was basically a meaningless game. Although they do end up winning their group.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, the Arsenal midfielder is a good shout for captain this week.
Yep, for sure. All right. Well, that will do it for us for now. But Rob, why don't you tell the folks where they can find you?
You can find me on Twitter, as always, at Smokey_Loogie. Or you can find my writings and stylings on Razzball.com.
Yeah, and I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, at Kevroff on Twitter. Rob did mention it. We are going to try to get you a new episode in between all three of these sets of matches. So this one, for the weekend, we'll try to record one Sunday, I believe, get it up to you by Monday for the Tuesday-Wednesday matches, and then record either Wednesday or Thursday, and then get you something for the following weekend. It will be insane. That is our goal. If we fall short, please forgive us, but that is the plan as of now. So keep an eye on that. I will have an article for the Eagles Beak that's going to cover the two match weeks, both 15 and 16. A little lazy on that front. Also, check out our VIP bet stuff. Still trying to figure out what the schedule will be like for them, but check either of our Twitters, and I'm sure we'll kind of keep you apprised over there. But be sure to check out our DFS videos over there at VIPbet.com. And also check out AllInSportsTalk.com, which has a lot of really good sports content. It's a live streaming online radio service, so you can find that out at AllInSportsTalk on Twitter or at our AllInSportsTalk.com. All right, well, that'll do it for us now. Hope you have a very fun, crazy run of fixtures. Hope that our advice helped, and we'll catch you soon.
Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.